Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, we can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review, or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that will help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Josh, and Josh has had a lifetime of really strange encounters with the paranormal. Josh, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you on, mate. Your email that you sent over is chilling, to tell you the truth. It's quite a life you've lived with, I guess, just really strange encounters happening, and they really started at quite a young age for you. They started around when you're about 10 years old. Are you able to walk us through these first set of encounters and just tell us what happened there?
Well, one night Mum was up with friends and they're having a drink, you know, as it goes, and I went to bed, and where I was living was on a farm. It was an old house, and when in the room, I never really liked this room for some reason. Like, I really hated it. It's got really bad vibes off it, still to this day. Anyways, I'm laying down, and it's very, very hard to explain the feelings it was of, I was laying down on my back and I felt this extremely heavy presence sitting on top of me. I was completely awake and I was getting visions of extreme anger and violence. And only thing I can remember as a kid of it was there was this lady legit getting punched in the face in my vision by a man with a goatee beard, and he was hitting her and she was cowering. I couldn't understand what was going on. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. And by the time I broke out of that, I bolted out to the room and everyone was just in shock, like me bawling my eyes out. I couldn't explain what it was, even though I know what I've seen in my visions. It was just so surreal to be in that situation of trying to explain it but not being able to, and now I'm like kind of believing you. So it's one of those stories that only a handful of people have been told until tonight with your show.
So when you say visions, were you asleep when you saw these, or were you kind of having these visions as you were just laying there?
I was fully awake. Like, I could see it in my vision, in my eyes. Like, it was just straight in front of me. Like, it was a dark room, but I could see the kind of like a glow of it in my eyes. It was weird.
I wonder if that was in your mind's eye, because if the way you're explaining it, it almost sounds like this was something that you were kind of envisioning that actually wasn't there. So that kind of tells me, I wonder if this was something that you're seeing internally, and maybe that's the only way that you can say that you were seeing it was by saying, I can actually see it physically happening there.
Now, it was a real weird experience. It only happened once, but I still remember it because it was so crazy that it's one of those memories you just never forget.
And that would have been quite traumatizing at 10 years old to see such violence.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's kept in my mind for so long. Like, you just don't forget those types of things.
And what was the reaction from everyone when you came out? Was that something really difficult for you to explain?
Confusion. Like, they were just like looking at me going, what's wrong? What's happened? And I remember what I said. I said, there's a piece of hay and it's broken off. That is only words that I could get, like straw. It's breaking in half. That's all I could say. Like, it sounds stupid, but that's all I remember saying to him. I just couldn't get the rest out.
And what do you think that was in regards to? Do you think that was you maybe speaking more metaphorically about the straw breaking or something like that?
Oh, I could not even put it together if I tried. It's really hard to explain. It's real confusing still to this day. That's why I kind of really keep it to myself, because I think it's like, well, and how does that make sense? But I know what I've seen. It's weird.
It makes me wonder if you were seeing an actual event happen elsewhere, because there's people out there who are empaths who are able to feel things and see things that, you know, aren't really quite explainable in that sense. And I kind of wonder if you have some kind of ability in that sense, because, you know, that's empaths usually connect with people or even animals who have are having an emotive or an emotional situation happen to them. And I wonder if that's what was going on there. I mean, I'm absolutely spitballing, but that just kind of fits the bill for what I'm hearing.
I could never put it down to anything, but what you're saying kind of like lines up when you think about it.
Do you find that you are able, and this might sound a little bit airy-fairy depending on how you feel about this stuff, but do you find that you're able to connect with people who are having an emotional situation happen to them, or do you feel like you can feel people's happiness or sadness?
Oh, I'm definitely one of those people who have had a lot go on in their life that very broken, and I love to see somebody happy before, you know, if I'm seeing them, if I can see that they're down, I'm like, yeah, no, I know, I've been there, I know that feeling, you know, I'm really not going to let this person go through that, so I try my best to get through to them and, you know, see what's going on.
Yeah, I wonder if that is the case then, because I'm absolutely no expert on this, but I wonder if there's someone out there who does understand this a little bit more than me, because I've only spoken to a handful of people who have, you know, had these types of abilities, I would say, and, you know, they may be able to shine a little bit more light onto you. But from what I can see on your email, you know, your life has been quite, eventful might be the word I would say here, because this next story, it's quite quite heartbreaking. Would you be comfortable talking about what happened when you were 12 years old?
Yeah. About 12, I was almost 13. My mother passed away from an aneurysm, and I still remember the night beforehand. My brother and I were on the computer, and our mum's room was to the right. If you look to your right, and then it's straight left door, and it was in there. And as we got up to go out of the computer room, because my brother lived down the back in this big bus that was like all decked out, and we went to bed, and I said, yeah, good night, Mum, love you. And I still remember she kind of slurred these words of love you, and that was it. Woke up on the Saturday, and there was an ambulance coming rushing to the door. And I was like, oh, what's going on? I thought it was my cousins, you know, being trapped by a horse or something. But no, she come out on the stretcher and away she went. And yeah, we personally never got to say goodbye. She was already gone by the time she left the room. Which, yeah.
I'm so sorry that happened. That's devastating. You know, that's something that you never want to hear happen. And I'm sorry that happened to you there, Josh.
It's all right. I've come to terms with it. For sure, it's taken me a little while, but I accept it for what it is. Nothing you can do. There's nothing that can, I'm telling someone, anyone here listening, this, you know, if you haven't been there or you have, there's nothing that can ever prepare you for losing your mother. Is like your rock. It's everything.
Especially at such a young age as well. And, you know, that's a pretty tough time for a kid at that age. And to have that happen, that would have been just kind of world crushing. And then the encounter that you kind of had while there.
Yeah. After the funeral, everyone's having a drink on the deck, like you do. And my brother was on the computer, and I was looking for the mattress to go sleep in the lounge room. And I'm looking in the couple of rooms. Every door was very close. It was like there was a door there, there, and there. And I was thinking to myself, oh, I better go into my room. It might be in my room. I was like, nah, it might be in mum's room. So as I looked in the doorway, there was the lamp was on, and it was just a shade of a light. You know, you could just see in there. And there was no word of a light. As I put my head in this door, there was my mum. I could see her from waist height. She was in a white, her white top that she was in. It was like a white top, and her hair was all done really nicely. Like, she was about to go out, smile on her face, and a very light glow around her. It was like a, pretty much what you'd see in a movie, the glow that they have, they put her in the purse, like the aura. It was exactly like that, and it was a splitting image of her. And I put my head back in the door to go for another look, and I went, I just like to see that. I've turned around, and my hands were out in front of me in just complete shock. And my brother looked at me and said, Josh, what did you just see? And I didn't even say a word to him. I just walked outside, right, went up to my nan, started crying, and I said, I just seen mum in the room. And that's what I remember, that story. But it was so surreal. I still remember the image.
That is just so heartwarming, because I wonder if that was your mom coming back to say goodbye to you because you didn't get the chance.
That was it. Yep. That was the only time that I've ever seen her in my life. It was only then, and it's been the only time since.
What did your brother Denny say? Because did your brother see it?
No, it was just me. He was on the computer doing his thing. And as I put my head into the door, she was just kind of like behind the mattress, because it was like along the wall, but then it was kinked out from the wall. So it was just resting on the wall, but she was behind the end of it. And I was like, there she was, just her waist up. And it was a big glow. It was crazy.
How long do you think you were there looking at her?
Blink of an eye. It was just that you see it, and then I popped my head back. It was kind of like I looked in the door and looked back, and it was in that time frame of putting a head inside a door and pulling it out. That's about the time.
And when you look back in there, was she gone?
Yeah. And that's what made me free. That's what made my arms just stand up, and I was like, yeah. It was a pretty crazy thing to see.
What was the reaction from your nan and the rest of the family when you told them about what you just saw?
I got the feeling of, you know, I'm just, you know, putting it on in a sense. But I just remember saying, I said, Mum, and it was like, oh, you know, I'm sure you did. And it was just kind of like it was a little bit brushed off, because I didn't know how they we're going to take it.
Yeah.
So they were just like, yep, yeah, okay. You know, it's been a big day. You know, we don't want to get into that.
Yeah, that would have been quite hard to process, I imagine, because, you know, you've suffered such a great loss, and then you've got to have this, you know, this tiny fleeting moment to see your mum one last time, and then to try and explain that to your other family members, and to have them kind of just almost brush it off as a, well, yeah, he's just thinking he saw that. That would have been pretty tough.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. What the most weirdest thing about the whole seeing her was is before she passed away, she was really sick and she was really drawn out. She was really skinny. She just wasn't looking very healthy. But when I seen her, when I put my head in that door, she was healthy. She was like when there was nothing wrong with her back when she was really, really healthy and stuff. So that's what really made me, that was another image that I can't get out of my head, like, it's back when she was happy, you know, she was healthy looking and she just seemed happy type thing.
It's almost like you saw her in her prime, that, you know, she's moved on, and that, you know, she's in a better place, that she's healthy, she's happy.
Definitely. Definitely.
What was your reaction to that? Because, I mean, I completely understand that, you know, you would be absolutely an emotional wreck after that. Was it something that you always wanted to go back in there and see her again?
Oh, definitely. 100%. You know, I was almost scared in one sense from the pure shock of it, but another was like, you know, make yourself seen, you know, make yourself known, like, I want to see you again, like, you know, as you do, I just cried for hours, like, praying that, you know, this was, the most saddest part is when your mum's always around, if you're in one room, you think she's in another, and you go to that room, and you know, she's just in another, you finally play that game for months in your head. You know, you'll be, so if you go into your room and you look for her, you just think, oh, she's in another room. Like, you legit start, it takes a long time for your brain to process that she's actually not there anymore. And it's really hard to, you know, going into one room and thinking, oh, she's in the, and then you catch yourself in the moment of, no, she's actually gone. Like, you got to remember that, not think she's just in another room.
I would imagine the fact that you saw her that one time, that would have just made you want to keep checking every room over and over.
Yep. You always find yourself like just that quick glance here, quick glance there, hoping to see something. But it just never come back.
Did your brothers ever get a moment like that?
Not off the top of my head. No, I couldn't tell you at this point. Yeah, I've never really asked my brother. They kind of all, my younger brothers and stuff, they kind of shut it out a bit. They were really young. They were really, really young. They kind of, they just shut it out type thing. But they've never told me any stories. I'm like the only one really to actually see something.
What was their reaction about all of this? I mean, they may have been pretty young at the time, but is this something that you've shared with them, I guess, now that they're older?
Yeah, my older brother, yes, he's like, that's crazy, because he told me about your show, and I was like, I have to tell people these stories because, you know, they are crazy. Like, not crazy, they are, you know, there is something else. It was definitely real.
Yeah. Was there any other strange encounters that you had around that time? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
I was just maybe a couple of weeks after she passed. I was, everything just kind of went a bit haywire and stuff around the house, and I was sleeping on the lounge one night at 2 o'clock. Imagine you're sleepwalking, but you're awake. You know, you can see everything you're doing, but you have no control on what you're doing. I got up at 2 a.m, and believe it or not, I started folding my blanket perfectly like my mother would, corner to corner, just OCD type style. The house was, when my mother was around, was so clean to get off the floor, legitimately. Just was really bad OCD with it. So I'm folding my blanket at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I find myself slowly doing small things around the house, cleaning and tidying up. I'm completely awake and knowing exactly what I'm doing, but I have just no control over what I'm doing. So I'm just kind of going with it and talking and stuff, not really understanding what's going on. I walk to my mum's room where my stepfather was, and he was asleep. And I put my head in the door and I'm saying, Orville, because that's what she called him. She's like, Orville. I was saying, Orville, where's the vacuum? And I'm thinking, I said about 3 or 4 times he didn't wake up, and I kind of turned back around, I walked out, I sat on the lounge for a second, and I went to pick the blanket up, and I snapped out of it, like your ears popped. And I grabbed my blanket, and I went, what am I doing? Like, look up the wall, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Grabbed my blanket and flipped it over me and went back to sleep. And I woke up the next day, and I kind of like didn't really believe what happened, and I let that sit in my head for many, many, many years, not thinking much of it. And I finally spoke about it to my brother, and he went, oh, he just goes, I've got goosebumps. He goes, she definitely was in your body, bro. She was there. He goes, she was making you do that. So I don't know what it was. It gives me goosebumps right now thinking about it, because it was legit.
Yeah, no, that's a spooky type of encounter, because to not have control over your body and to be doing things that you normally wouldn't. I know if I was a 12-year-old, mate, I would definitely not be cleaning the house.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, who wakes up at 2 o'clock and starts folding their own blankets and asks for the vacuum? Like, no, it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
it's not exactly normal.
And what was your reaction after that? Because it seems like your brother was a little bit more on board about what was kind of going on there.
Yeah.
And
that was a couple of years after.
Oh,
that was
right.
That was a fair few years. This was back like only when I was in my 20s, early 20s, like maybe 20 years old, 22, 23. Like I never talked to people about these things because people won't believe me. But I only tell selected people who are really on that same level.
And it even sounds like a lot of your family members were maybe either too young or just maybe completely unaccepting of what you were experiencing.
Yeah, definitely.
That would have been pretty tough to have these things happen. And did you feel a little bit isolated, a little bit alone because of that?
I wouldn't say alone. I just felt like, why me? It's like, what's going on? Type thing. Like, I thought it was normal, you know, being at that age, you don't know what's normal. So, you know, you're still working out who you are as a person, and this stuff's going on. You're just like, putting that in the, I'll look at that stuff later. you know, and then I kind of, you know, locked that away for a while. And then once I was a bit older and I started working out what's going on, and I started remembering those things, and I'm going, oh, that was real. That was hectic, actually. You know, that stuff doesn't happen every day.
Does it make you think about, like, potential other things that happened in that house and you kind of just brushed over them, thinking, yeah, that was just normal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I still remember when my brother was sleeping in that same room when I had those visions, and he would never, still to this day, doesn't sleep with the light on. With the light off. He always has to have a light on. I always ask him because I'm just scared of the dark. You know, he's like bloody 20 now and he still doesn't sleep with the light off.
Oh, wow, really?
He's got a missus and two kids and he has to have a light on all the time. So I've got a feeling he's gone through something, but he hasn't told us yet in that same room, because we had a lamp on the floor and somehow that lamp's fallen over and caught fire on the bed.
Oh, wow.
And, the bed caught fire, and I still remember him coming out and he's like, my eyes are burning. You know, I was still asleep and I was like, no, you'll be right. Not thinking that's going on. I woke up and the house is just full of smoke, and my stepfather's already gone to work because he went to work early. And I was like, seeing the smoke, and I was like, whoa. And he was sleeping in the lounge and he had all these burns on the bottom of his feet. And I got him out of the house and it was inside the mattress. The mattress was like smoldering on the inside, put it all out. And yeah, long story short.
That's really weird.
The house is demolished now. They went and sold the property and the house got smashed. And one part of me, you know, I drive past it here and there sometimes when I go for a drive and see where I grew up. But part of me, like, is happy that that room's gone. And the part of me, you know, cries because that was my, you know, that's where I grew up as a kid.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional energy attached to that place.
Big time. A lot of bad things happened. A lot of just bad stuff in that house.
What do you think was in that room? Do you think there was just evil in there? Do you think there was just something bad?
Something. I never liked it when we first ever moved in. We never had a carpet. We had concrete floors, and it was just ice cold in that room. And me and my brother, mum used to go, yep, go to bed. Yep, all good. We were really young, like, you know, just like 8, 9 years old, probably younger. And my brother would be like, you awake? And as you do, your siblings, you awake? Yeah. And he goes, come jump in here with me, man. I'm too, like, we're scared. Like, we just sleep head to toe all the time. It's just something about that room. Even he will tell you the same thing, because I hated that room. He goes, I hate sleeping in there.
If two people are saying the same thing about a room, it's got to have something going on with it, I think, because it's easy for brothers to tell stories and to freak the other one out. And, you know, I used to do that all the time to my younger brother. Yeah. But to go that extra step and actually sleep in a bed together, you know, there's got to be something in there that kind of make you just feel that uneasy to do that.
Like, I'm not sure, like, I'm trying to think back then. This is gone, as you know, a long time ago. And I'm trying to think back, like, have I ever seen anything or glance at something that I, you know, shouldn't have, but nothing really pops up in my brain other than those visions.
And even those visions, you know, they're terrifying enough on their own to...
Yeah, that was chaos.
Yeah, to...
That was pure evil.
I just cannot imagine seeing something so violent so young, because, you know, when you're that age, you know, you'll watch movies and stuff like that when, you know, violence is violence. But to see that with your own eyes,
real.
Yeah, it's completely different.
It'll eat you from the inside, trust me.
Was that something?
No, I still have those visions.
Is that something that kind of just plays on your mind?
All the time. It's something that you just never forget. It's like, yeah, that definitely happened, you know.
Does it ever make you worry that you saw something real happening there?
Don't know. I don't know. Who knows? That could have been the old people that used to live there. you know, what if I'm seeing previous encounters of the house, you know, it's showing itself like this is what this was place was like, and maybe they've died and they're still there, that evil spirit is still in the house, and I don't know, but I'm just spitballing myself, but maybe that is still around in the house type thing.
Yeah, kind of like the impression of evil was so bad that it's just imprinted on that house forever.
Yeah. Now that I look back on it, I heard back when, I only heard this recently, back when the house was before my nan brought it, it was very like outlaw motorcycle gangs used to hang out there. And that was like, it was a big shed, big pinball machines and stuff like that everywhere. And now that I think about what I was seeing, the person actually was, he had goatee, beard type thing and stuff. So I was like, maybe put two and two together. Something's happened in that place and it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great theory. And,
but yeah.
it's, you know, it's something that you may never know, but I think you're probably on a good wicket there to say the evil that was there was maybe imprinted from a previous resident.
Yeah.
Well, mate, let's move on, because this next one is this is terrifying, to be honest. Tell me about what happened when you're in this caravan, mate, because I read this email and I can't even fathom it. Can you tell me what happened?
No one's going to believe this one. Even I don't believe it, because things don't, you know, feel things like that. So my brother, we had this caravan, right? So we had this door between it. I had my room at the back. My brother had his in the front. And my brother had his computer chair and his computer set up right at the front where the front door is, in the front section, where you'd have like the dining table. So we had all that ripped out in our little computer area. And with the lock on the caravan, you had to put your finger inside the door. Anyone would know this who's had on a caravan before. Put your finger inside, up, and then you pull on the latch, pull it down, and opens the door. Well, 9 times out of 10, my brother would be on the computer. And he'd have his hand there, and he'd lean back and open the door for me, which his hands, I'd feel his hands, and I'd go, thanks, bro. Open the door, do what you need to do. Anyways, this one day, just cruising on down there like normal, and I put my fingers in the door, and I felt fingers help guide me to the latch. They were soft, and they were neutral. They weren't warm. They weren't cold. They were just fingers. I know some people are probably not believing this right now, but I know what I felt was real. I put my fingers in the door, and as I pulled the latch down, they went away, just like my brother would. I've opened the door, and by the time I could say thanks, Brett, he wasn't there on the computer. And my brain started spinning. I was like getting lightheaded and almost like, you know, you're speechless. I ran in the thing and I thought, nah, he's playing me. So I've opened my door up. I've opened up the cupboards. And I went as far as opening up the DVD cupboards up the top of the thing just to be sure. You know, I was thinking, I did not just feel somebody's fingers in this caravan. I got out and I ran up, and sure enough, he's in the house. And I was like, and I'm flicking my fingers and I'm going, I just felt someone's hand. And he's like, what? And he didn't believe me. I was like, no, seriously, man, I just felt somebody's fingers in that caravan. And he's like, oh no. Yeah, that was real. That was crazy, that one.
I have no words for that. That's the stuff that you hear.
I can laugh about it because I was like, you know, it's as crazy as it sounds, but it's something that actually happened. So I just find it funny. I was like, wow, that was real.
That's the type of stuff that you hear in a movie just before things start going crazy. And
oh, yeah.
I couldn't imagine my reaction if I put my hand into a door handle and there was someone else's hand in there.
Well, you wouldn't think about it because you think that it's somebody else letting you in. But realistically, there was no one there. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to sleep in this caravan from now on.
Did you stay in the caravan?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sleeping outside.
Fair. Absolutely fair. I completely understand that feeling of you feeling kind of lightheaded, like you're about to pass out, because that's a realization. Yeah.
It was complete spin out. It was just like, oh, I'm gonna pass out. Like that wasn't real.
Because it's one of those moments where it's like, wow, this world just got turned upside down because what just happened there?
Pure shock. Just pure shock.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
I still
incredible.
Feel the fingers. I can still feel those fingers. Still, this, and I'm like, oh. Yeah. Makes me still flick my hand. Yeah, like, oh, that was weird.
Yeah, that's creepy. And I guess you'll never know what that was. Do you think about it often?
Yeah, yes, I do, because my auntie, about a week before, she went down there and opened the door up, and there was an old lady sitting in the bed, and she slammed the door and got out of there. She didn't tell us.
You're joking. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Just, you know. But there was she said there was an old lady sitting on the bed, on my brother's bed. So I just went, two and two, okay, mad.
Wow. And you know what? That's like a little bit of, I guess, confirmation about something was going on in there.
That's where I put it down. I was like, that was real. That was definitely either the old lady helping me out, you know, definitely felt no evil presence in there. It was just a nice calm. Everything was always calm, unlike where I grew up.
Yeah, I still don't know how you slept in that van after that, I guess, but probably good that you only found that out later on.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's move on to your final story here, because this is something that this is something interesting which kind of happened to your nan and your auntie from what I'm reading here. Are you able to tell us what happened here?
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm about to tell you is what was told by me, by my brother, who my nan told. She doesn't talk about it. The family doesn't talk about it. And it's kind of been very quiet. So I'm just going off what he's told me. Believe it or not, but this is something you hear or see in a ghost adventure show type stuff that you go, oh, that's fake. But this one was hectic. So my cousin was going through some stuff, and they couldn't work out what it was, you know, depression, anxiety. It was just really, really bad. It was just a really dark, dark place. And one night she was staying down the road from my nan's at our auntie's. And, okay, hang on. I'll flip this back real quick. I'll rewind this. Back where she was living in my nan's place in Newcastle, my brother came home. He was pissed as, and he was walking down the hallway, and as he's put his head in the door, he's seen this big black shadow go off the bed and up through the roof. Now, he didn't realize at the time. He thought it was just a car shadow coming across there, but he remembers there was no cars at the time. And when he's put his head in, the shadow went up off the bed. And he still, to this day, he goes, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And this has gone back to the original story. When Stephanie was laying down, my auntie said to her, do you want a drink? And she was half asleep. She goes, yeah, sure. She's got up. She's walked away for no more than 5 minutes. And as she's come around the corner to look inside the door to go to her bedroom, here's my cousin halfway up the wall, pinned. And as she looks at her, she's half at the wall, and she just went, boom, and dropped to the ground. She's woken up and gone, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, I'm getting goosebumps.
Oh, my God.
Ah, it's getting real. Anyways, so she said, okay, shit, fuck, what's going on? She gets on the phone. She rings up her mom and nan and goes, you need to get down here, because nan was very spiritual. She still is very spiritual. She's come down and she's going on in this corner away from her, wouldn't go near her. And she's like, you know, she said, oh, get the fuck away from me, you dog. You know, you bitch, you this, you that. She, why are you talking to me like that? And she's telling her, fuck off, get away from me. And Nan's like, righto, all right, let's play this game then. So she kind of just grabbed her Bible and started reading. And it got more crazy and more violent. She's trying to throw things at her. And this bit is where it gets crazy movie style. She started getting scratches up her leg, just starting to appear up her leg, up her arms. Three scratches up her arms and stuff. And she started getting covered in them. And she's going mental at her. And then just kept reading. And by the time it all happened, it all calmed down after a while. I can't remember what happened, but it all settled down. A priest had to get called after, you know, there was heaps of stuff got involved. She had to get gold in a sack, and she had to sleep with the gold. They said it will keep the jackal away and stuff like that. I still don't understand it. But a lot of people, viewers, might understand that. You can shed some light on it. She had to sleep with the gold, and they said that she had many, many entities connected to her, not just one. And they said that's the reason why she was so down, depressed, you know, segregated. It was because of that.
Wow.
Wow.
That's intense. Like, To have that kind of story or secret in your family, for it to kind of just be kept so close, that's genuinely terrifying. And for your auntie not to want to talk about that, or your nan, that's...
I've never even asked. I've never even brought it up, because I know that just, like, horror. Just true horror.
Yeah. There's absolutely no words that I can say to go with that. And it genuinely sounds like a genuine case of possession for there to be essentially the legitimate term of supernatural things happening there.
Yeah.
With the person being pinned up against the wall and then snapping out of it and dropping. There is absolutely no explanation for that, because it defines all physics and possibility.
That's why they don't talk about it, because they go, who was going to believe that? You know, who was actually going to stand there and get told that story and say, yeah, I believe you. You know, you just don't. Like, that stuff doesn't happen in this real world.
Yeah, it's
chaos.
It absolutely is chaos. And that's something that you honestly, you really couldn't share that with anyone without them kind of raising their eyebrows.
Not many people know that. They look at me and they, like, I've learned to not share my stories to people, because they look at me and go, you're crazy. It's like, no, I'm not crazy. It's just, you have never experienced it before. Until you've experienced, then call me crazy.
And I think that's a really great point that you make there. You know, I think a lot of people would want to believe that this stuff doesn't happen. And I think a lot of people think it's easier to call those people or those encounters crazy rather than face the fact that, you know, there is genuine bad things out there that you don't know about. You have no control over.
Yep. It's funny because my partner always tries to get me watch, you know, horrors and ghost movies and stuff. And, you know, I'm almost 29 years old, and I can't watch a horror movie to save my own life. I just cannot handle the jolt or ghost movies. There's a reason why I've never, ever visited a graveyard. Like, anyone says to me, oh, let's go see a graveyard. I said, I'll tell you one rule in life. Don't fuck with the dead. That is one number one rule that I have lived by. Don't fuck with them. Leave them be.
And I think that those are great words to kind of live by, because I always say to people, you know, I hear so many people who listen to this podcast and they say, I want to experience something. I want something crazy to happen to
me. You don't.
And
you really don't.
And I think you are a great example of a guest who has had the craziest of crazy things happen to him. And I can guarantee you probably don't want 99% of them to happen to you ever again.
No, I see enough in my dreams. You know, my dreams are just horrid. But just, you know, always, I'm just always, it's hard to explain. It's like, you know, it's like the only, it's like the only place they can actually get me, it's when I'm sleeping. It's like they torment me, you know, it's always grabbing my leg in my dream or pull me down or trying to drown me, or it's, that's why I don't watch horror movies. You know, I said it, well, I was like, I see enough of my dreams, babe. I don't want to watch horror movies. I can't stand them. I don't sleep. It's hard to explain.
No, I think that's a fair point. It's, you kind of live a life that's already filled with enough horror, enough scary things. You don't need to to do that for fun.
I don't need that. I don't need that thrill. No, I've got it.
Yeah. Got it. So what do you think of the paranormal and all that after everything that you've been through? Do you think it's something that, you know, a lot more people need to take a little bit more seriously? Because, you know, the things that we talk about on this podcast, as you know, they're very fringe, and I guess a lot of people wouldn't feel comfortable talking about it. And you know, it's honestly the whole reason I do this podcast is to let people come on here and share their encounters, you know, share the things that happen to them to let people know that they're not alone or anything like that. You know, what's your thoughts, or I guess another way to put that is, you know, like any words of wisdom to anyone kind of experiencing this type of stuff?
Talk about it with people who understand it, either been through it or will it actually accept it and listen to you, other than brush you off, because getting brushed off is, there's nothing worse, because it makes you feel more cornered. You know, it makes you push, it makes you pull back on those emotions, which can make it so much more worse. Yes, it's good to talk about it, but to the right people, for sure.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.